is a new format of a quick 30 minutes, so I'll try to get through as much news as possible. A lot going on. Of course, the most important story in the never-ending cycle of pointless stories that are somehow viral for whatever reason, even though it has very little to do with anything of importance, such as permanent war, not a topic to be discussed, or climate change, not discussed. But and if it is discussed, it's through the neoliberal environmental non-governmental organization language of sustainable development and climate optimism, and led by the climate group We Mean Business, the B Team and Ford Foundation, Rockefeller Foundation, and the like. So it's a very hard place to get information, a very hard place to get good news or even real news. But instead, here we are given a very interesting and somehow tantalizing topic of Prime Minister Justin Trudeau dressing up as Aladdin for a 2001 Halloween party at local private school, West Point Grey Academy. So not to be surprised, Justin Trudeau is very racist in his politics, especially with foreign policy, bombing, being a part of the NATO destruction of Libya, of being part of the NATO destruction of Syria. So, I mean, to think that, you know, a guy that is committed to a permanent war, imperialist politics and political economy would ever not dress up as Aladdin for, as a Halloween costume. You know, of course, political leaders kill Arabs. That's what the whole myth of the war on terror and the angry Arab and the blowback theory that Arabs are upset with the West due to the freedoms that the West enjoys and their violent nature. But in reality, we all know the story about behind radical Islamic fighters being trained. It all started with the United States intelligence agencies, CIA funding the Afghani Mujahideen fighters. You can see in the last few seconds of a great movie, if you want to understand American foreign policy propaganda, Rambo 3, or is it First Blood 3? I can't really remember. It's a really horrible franchise, but nonetheless, it's actually dedicated to the Mujahideen at the time, because at this point the United States and Afghanistan, the United States were funding the Mujahideen to fight the USSR in Afghanistan. But in reality, that these were terrorists coming from Saudi Arabia, where the bin Laden family was getting these people from Saudi Arabia into Afghanistan to fight against the USSR, to draw the USSR into a conflict and to bleed the resources, drive the USSR, eventually to see the fall of the USSR. And of course, you know, as there is always there needs to be a convenient enemy. And after the USSR was defeated, the US empire moved then on into Arabs. So it's no surprise that on the month right after September 11th, where the United States launched the global war on terror, you know, our extremely racist and imperialist minded current prime minister would dress up as Aladdin. So that's a longer take on, I guess, a different take on what's clearly obvious. But I feel as if, you know, on these pointless subjects, if they're not interrogated for their symbolism or connection to larger actual important issues in the news, then what's the point of looking into them? Or everything will end up being part of the Trump news cycle, which is just a way to get people upset and keep their eyes on their screens longer and longer, to keep the communications companies that own CNN, MSNBC, which General Electric owns MSNBC. So there you go. You have the nuclear contractors feeding you your rage bait for the day. And I guess the same could be said for the Canadian press that, you know, falls in line with Canadian foreign policy, especially in Afghanistan. So there you go. And a long way, you can say that, yes, the prime minister is racist, and also the prime minister has acted in racist ways, be much further, far worse than dressing up as Aladdin. But also it is reflective of his racism and imperialist politics. So speaking of imperialism, there needs to be a discussion of a new imperialism. And this was written about in the Monthly Review Online, fantastic resource, would recommend for anyone trying to get good information from a left perspective. And now, instead of only being humanitarian intervention and the war on terror, since people have hopefully, well, not everybody, a lot of people uncritically repeat the lies about Nicolas Maduro in Venezuela, repeat the lies about Bashar al-Assad in Syria to further bolster the U.S. Imperialist agenda. Now there's a new reason to invade countries. There's green smearing from Nicaragua to Bolivia. So that's the headline from a piece in Monthly Review Online. It's posted September 9th. So it's a good article explaining the recent protest group, which for whatever reason is being welcome in open arms on the quote unquote political left, even at UBC, where there's the gender studies department hosting Extinction Rebellion to come talk about their cause. But while at the same time, you know, we're talking about, you know, freedom for you know, all genders, all sexualities, and all races, there's a group of people calling them environmentalists and calling themselves leftists and rebels and all the like, while they're pushing the agenda of the United States State Department, the United States imperialist forces. So I mean, clearly it's astroturfed and it's controlled by the most powerful interests and is not in any way subversive and not in any way radical, and is just another instance of UBC having imperialist guests on campus. Earlier this year, there was the White Helmets being welcomed at the Peter Liu Institute of Global Affairs. So those were Al Qaeda terrorists that were welcomed and talked about saving people in Syria, even though there's absolutely nobody that's come forward to say that they were saved by the White Helmets, and the White Helmets only operate out of ISIS-controlled areas within Syria. So, I mean, why UBC had terrorists and the student press didn't cover it, it will never... Well, I mean, terrorists is a more convenient war on terror fueling term. And really, the way to think about it is they're Contra fighters. So just like in Nicaragua in the 80s against the Sandinistas and all the U.S.-sponsored death squads in El Salvador, it's the same model in Syria. It's Al-Qaeda death squads instead. So that's because terror is manufactured by the intelligence agencies to serve U.S. empire interests. So back to the article about Nicaragua and Bolivia. So here's a passage that helps explain the situation. A fundamental dimension of contemporary psychological warfare has been dual-purpose corporate co-option of non-governmental organizations. In that psi warfare dimensions, NGOs serve both as disinformation partners with Western news media and two as false interlocutors in international forums and institutions where they attack governments challenging the U.S. and their allies. They actively subvert governments inside countries challenging the West, for example, in Latin America, Cuba, Venezuela, Nicaragua, and Bolivia. But they also pervert due process in institutions like the U.N., posing as civil society, but in fact serving Western corporate imperatives, for example, in international human rights and environmental mechanisms and forums. Among these NGOs figure high-profile human rights organizations like Amnesty International, Human Rights Watch, the International Federation for Human Rights, and AVAZ, along with environmental organizations from 350.org and the World Resource Institute to Global Witness and Greenpeace. An increasing interrelationship has developed between corporate NGO funding and the exploitation of people's general willingness to volunteer for and support apparently good causes. Symbolic of this is the way the World Economic Forum attendees like Kumi Naidu move readily between top management from one NGO to another, in Naidu's case from Greenpeace to Amnesty International. From Libya and Syria to Venezuela and Nicaragua, Amnesty International has played a key role using false reports to demonize governments resisting the U.S. and its allies. As Corey Morningstar has pointed out, Greenpeace is a key player in promoting the corporate-driven New Deal for Nature aimed at financializing what remains of the natural world, especially its biodiversity, as a way of engineering a fourth industrial revolution. Western corporate greed underlies the identical patterns of news media and NGO misinterpretation and outright deceit supporting regime change change offensive against Libya and Syria or Venezuela and Nicaragua. Right now, that very same pattern of media and NGO manipulation is clearly at work preparing for an intervention to prevent Evo Morales being reelected as president of Bolivia. So just to take a step aside, the author suggests that these groups are co-opted. However, reading the author that was mentioned in this piece, Corey Morningstar, she explains how these groups, such as 350.org, are created by the foundations themselves, such as Ford Foundation. They don't need to be co-opted through the funding from the foundations. They are created by the foundations themselves so as to serve their agenda if they survive the test. So there was one sky that merged with 350.org. So, you know, they go with whatever brand works the best. And as you can see, 350.org today is pushing for the New Deal for Nature, the Green New Deal, and all these other ruling class agenda items that are not meant to do anything about nature or do anything about jobs, even though jobs is a large part of the rhetoric. In fact, is merely a plan to get $100 trillion worth of public investments into the hands of the ruling class so that they can do whatever geoengineering project or clean energy project to jumpstart the system, put more profits in their pockets, continue economic growth, all the while plundering the last of Earth's resources to build, God knows what. I mean, these quote unquote environmentalists really don't think too deeply about the sheer raw materials and emissions and all the things that these people allegedly care about that would be used to create a Green New Deal society where there's renewable energy for electricity, which is only 20% of the whole energy budget anyway. On top, that's just for electricity, not including all that fossil fuels are used for. And, you know, if anyone's taking a look around the world, it doesn't look like anything's stopping. And in fact, it looks like things are getting even crazier as far as development is going. I mean, everywhere I look, there's construction going on. There's tons of emissions, CO2 emissions being emitted, and nobody seems to mind. Well, it's because we got to keep, business as usual as long as possible, regardless of what effect it has on the environment and on humanity itself. So, back to the imperial angle of these environmental NGOs. So, I've talked about on the show how environmental NGOs push the agenda of the financial elite to put together these public-private partnerships. I mean, there's nothing more fascistic than privatizing the state, and it seems that that's the solution that is being proposed by people like Greta Thunberg. So Greta, everybody's favorite climate hero, was meeting with Barack Obama, first black president of the United States, but also first black U.S. empire leader, more or less, conducting wars in Syria, Libya, trying to destabilize Venezuela with sanctions, putting sanctions on Iran. Obama has a long imperial legacy, creating the drone kill program and the like. So now you see the, like was described in the article, Kumi Naidu. So this person moves from Greenpeace to Amnesty International. So what has Amnesty International, Human Rights Watch, and the like been responsible for? Well, Amnesty International specifically is responsible for spreading the Gaddafi is giving his troops Viagra to rape women lie that started the NATO bombing campaign and destroyed Libya, a very rich African nation, and creating open slave trading that's happening there. So, Amnesty International purports to be a human rights organization. Well, human rights are being trampled as this chattel slavery is back. And well, it's not like there's not slavery, but an open slave market is back because of Amnesty International's lies, which they admit they've had no backing for. So that's all the credibility that Amnesty International has. But as the tactics of Greenpeace, which get people to think that if we get rid of plastic bags and plastic straws, that'll solve the problem and completely ignore the world's largest emitter of carbon emissions, the U.S. military. So I mean, it's pretty obvious that imperialism, the political economy of exporting finance capital all across the world to exploit workers and in the environment, maybe that could be the problem more so than plastic straws or plastic bags. But these NGOs are funded by the robber baron foundations like Carnegie Foundation, Ford Foundation, Rockefeller Foundation to divert any kind of actual rebellion or any kind of real resistance to this agenda of destroying the planet for profit. The key is to create these campaigns that make people feel like they're making a difference, but in reality are digging their own graves. In the case of the Green New Deal, where there's many valiant quote unquote grassroots organizers fighting for a plan that was created in 2009 by the UN after it looked like there wasn't going to be a bail in or a bail out, depending on whether or not we're talking about Europe, Cyprus, America, depending on how that financial scam went down, loading up institutional investors with the quote unquote toxic assets that needed to be bailed out in the biggest banks. So, as these NGOs are working to get the population to accept this new together we can beat climate change slogan, which, if we're turning to the manufacturing Greta Thunberg for consent, the behavioral change project to change everything. This is volume 2 and act 5 in a series by Aquarii Morningstar at El Provocateur on Twitter. A must read to understand the situation. She explains pretty simply how the Greta campaign was astroturfed from the start. I mean, there was massive financial backers and PR specialists like Callum Grieve, you're responding on the day of her lone climate strike, and completely ignoring the fact that her parents are Swedish ruling class and that her mother is an award recipient from the World Wildlife Foundation, which is a big supporter of the Green New Deal agenda. And what's the social engineering that's being happened? Well, the complete erasure of a class analysis that is required to understand climate change and to really grasp what is required, what kind of societal transformation is necessary. And instead, these environmental NGOs, political leaders like Barack Obama and AstroTurf PR, false idol heroes such as Greta Thunberg exist to change people's perception. Here we have Susan Rockefeller, co-executive producer of This Changes Everything documentary film and founding partner of Louverture Films. This is the Naomi Klein book and movie that is supposed to be very radical and about climate change, but in reality, it's the Rockefellers that are behind it, some of the richest people on planet Earth. So, I mean, what do they care about the radical change that needs to happen? Are they going to give up their unearned privileges? Absolutely not. There's a fantastic Malcolm X quote from 1964 in the piece. Oh, I say you've been misled, you've been had, you've been took. I think about that because that's me. I uncritically, was pushing this for a minute or two, unfortunately. But, now, thanks to Corey Morningstar's work, I can see the error in my ways and just how this is not radical. This is completely, this is the opposite of radical. It's erasing class consciousness. It's telling people that, hey, we need everyone to change everything. We need everyone, says the World Resources Institute. Vogue, Forces for Change. Let's see. There's other 350.org. We need everybody. Worldwide Wildlife Foundation to change everything. We need everyone. Purpose, People's Climate March to change everything. We need everyone. It's and finally, Fostering Collaboration, the B Team. So that's Richard Branson's foundation. And what's interesting there, and Corey Morningstar really explains really well, she says in the article, the purpose of the message is paramount. This is subtle yet effective erasure of class divisions. The peasants can sleep soundly knowing they and the corporation or NGO that has seized their land and share the same values. The interests of those at the helm of Goldman Sachs are no different from those espoused by the plumbers, factory workers, and working class. There is no common enemy, as we are united as one. Inequality will be corrected under a new reform capitalism sometime in the near future. This project can only be called what it is. This is eco-fascism. People like to throw that around to describe the groups and people who are talking about the population, the overpopulation myth, which is very fascistic, obviously, to think that, you know, purging human beings is what will solve the problem, and this isn't a systemic issue. And obviously, those are fascists and should be denounced as such. However, you know, looking at the politics and the political economy of the Greta Thunberg Green New Deal, New Deal for Nature proposal, well, giving the treasury over to the richest people on planet Earth who are behind this. I mean, like I've said countless times, you know, the World Resource Institution is taking money from all the largest foundations. The World Wildlife Foundation is funded from all these same people. They're calling for public-private partnerships to solve all the world's problems, which is, you know, the socialization of the debt and the socialization of the risk and the privatization of the profits, and all under the guise of climate change. And, you know, looking at the program itself, even if the program were to be implemented, the free transit and the solar panels and windmills and those are the good things that are suggested that people are talking about. But if we look at Cory Morningstar's article again, you know, what's the future for everybody? Well, the future, it's looking like, will be a nuclear future where clean energy is talked about as, you know, hydroelectric projects, which are horrible for indigenous people, as we're dealing with the Site C dam controversy that that activists are fighting against. And just take a look at I'm pretty sure it's Newfoundland that had a hydroelectric dam project just die, and it's not only horrible for the environment but also horrible economically because it's so expensive and does not make its money back. So I mean, why are they coming up with these ideas? Well, because those are enough to give to the ruling class to do God knows what with. Well, not God knows what to do these insane projects for quote unquote climate change, but in reality, it's just ways for them to make more money. So it's really, really frustrating and unfortunate task for all people on the left to really, you know, wake up and realize that we've all, you know, anyone still pushing the Greta Thunberg or any of these Green New Deal, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, Justice Democrats kind of issues, you know, it's a scam. It's just a continuation of the status quo. It's a continuation of U.S. foreign policy even since its inception of imperialist domination all over the world, but now with a green spin to it. And Bernie Sanders' plan is the same as the ones of the Rockefellers want. It's in the words of George Carlin, it is one big club and you're not in it. The flattening of class divisions, like as Cory Morningstar points out, is so important because this is such a brazen, in your face theft of the treasury. It's completely acknowledged that this is going to take the pension funds and institutional investments of working class institutions all across the world, because this is, once again, the Green New Deal is a global plan. You know, conjured up in the wake of the financial crisis, I guess, you know, the largest foundations and corporations of the world were trying to figure out how to hose the public for even more money, but they got lucky with the bailouts and let this one sit for a decade. And now we're back to implementing this agenda from everywhere. I mean, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez tweeted today, she wants a Green New Deal for Puerto Rico. Well, in her own Green New Deal resolution, there it is in there that the U.S. is going to export Green New Deals to all the other countries of the world. So we're going to continue green imperialism, as it would be, even if it requires propagandistic lies about Bolivia. So as soon as the Amazon fires broke out, Extinction Rebellion, as very not cops and not agent provocateurs, started protesting outside Bolivian embassies to protest the quote-unquote inaction of the Morales government, even though it was well established that the Amazon fires that were happening were clearly the fault of Bolsonaro, the fascist president of Brazil. And even more even more damning is that the Amazon fires this year were nothing compared to the African fires, which had absolutely no coverage of. But the Amazon fires needed to be focused on in order to push this narrative that Extinction Rebellion, amongst other environmental NGOs such as 350.org and such as the Sunrise Movement, are pushing that the Amazon fires are especially bad. No, well, that's actually what they look like year to year, but we don't get any views of that because that's the global south, so it doesn't matter. It's brown people. So the Western media won't report on it. And the reason why it was even brought up this time around was to smear Evo Morales by these people that supposedly care about the environment, but yet want the world's largest emitter, the U.S. military, to continue dominating the planet and using the planet's resources for murder, death, and destruction. So, I mean, it's a very contradictory and twisted ideology that continues this horrific status quo, and we'll use any issue, even especially climate change, because that one is so far the most well funded of all programs because of the massive payoff that they're looking for with the Green New Deal. I mean, what's it to the Rockefeller Foundation, the Ford Foundation, to spend a few billion dollars and get $100 trillion of the public's money? I mean, that was what these were founded to do. It's just to change public opinion after the robber barons would use the National Guard to violently put down workers' movements. So it's something to really be considerate of and be critical of, because moving forward, there can't be such uncritical support for these green imperialists who are so brazen in their pushing of U.S. imperialist lies about socialist leaders like Evo Morales, who put together the People's Climate Agreement that called for an actual radical change in society to actually deal with climate change years ago. But of course, that was controlled by the big green interests that were working against whatever people's agreements could be come up, could be put together by people like Naomi Klein and her partner Avi Lewis. Avi Lewis's father, Stephen Lewis, is an imperialist who, through the guise of supporting AIDS research, is funding medical industrial complex in Africa, and he's also a cheerleader of all imperialist adventures by Canada, and his son's the complete same. Naomi Klein calling Nicolas Maduro a petro-populist and Evo Morales a petro-populist, and instead of listening to the people who are going to be most affected by climate change and people of color, well, guess who needs to talk over them? White savior Naomi Klein. And instead, you know what's actually going to help climate change? Getting the Rockefellers to make a movie, because of course the richest people on planet Earth really want socialism. So that's all the time we have for today. Thank you for listening and thanks for tuning in. We'll be back not next week, but the week after. Stay tuned to CITR for some more awesome programming. Thank you so much for listening. We'll be right back.